It's Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson.
Why are you so happy over there?
I'm happy. I'm all smiles today. All smiles today. You can kind of tell, can't you?
Yeah, I know.
Trade deadline in Major League Baseball, and the Dodgers pulled off a move in the last minute, and they landed Texas Ranger ace Yu Darvish. He's heading to the Dodgers. He's going to beef up an already stacked rotation. Get a load of this rotation now as we head down to the final stretch. Once Kershaw comes back, you're going to have Kershaw, Wood, Darvish, Hill, Maeda, and McCarthy waiting. And Ryu, who is the seventh starter on the team now, a guy that just pitched seven scoreless last night, probably goes to waivers. Those are first world problems right there. The Dodgers don't give up any of their top three prospects to get Darvish. Texas waited this out to the very end. In fact, Yu Darvish thought he was going to stay put. Even tweeted out he had 10 minutes to go before the end of the deadline, took a picture of himself in front of his locker, and within that 10 minutes, he was actually dealt to LA. Now, again, the idea around from a lot of pundits is that he will go back to Texas at the end of the season. It's a rental because he is a free agent at the end of the year. You're not so sure on that.
No, I'm not. I don't think he knows what he's getting into when he goes to L.A. The Asian population in Los Angeles is huge. You've seen it with Jeremy Lin and his short stint with the Lakers, how they came out. With Dodger baseball, they're always at Dodger baseball, and they're going to follow this guy. They're going to love this guy, and I think he's going to fall in love with the L.A. atmosphere.
So they give up three prospects. Willie Calhoun, who's the second baseman. They give up A.J. Alexi, who's a right-handed pitcher, and shortstop Brendan Davis. They are 4th, 17th, and 27th ranked prospects in the Dodgers system. Not in Major League Baseball system, in the Dodgers farm system. So they somehow, Andrew Friedman did some work today, because not only did the Dodgers land Yu Darvish, but they also brought in some bullpen help as well, sending Scott Van Slyke on his way out to Cincinnati. And they also bring in Watson as well. So the Dodgers go out, they add a couple of lefties, they get Yu Darvish. All in all, they did quite well today, didn't they?
Yeah, they helped their bullpen out. We've seen that bullpen struggle a little bit lately. But yeah, they get two left-handed pitching arms. I like what the Dodgers did. They added the pieces they needed to add to go out and win that championship. This is the team I picked anyways, and it just solidifies it for me.
Yeah, they go out, they get Tony Watson. They also get Tenny Cingrani from Cincinnati, who, look, I think Tony Watson's not very good. I don't know how much of an upgrade he is, but it's just reinforcement at this point in time.
They're just arms.
They are. They're just arms. And if you watch the game last night, the Dodgers find ways to win. I mean, once again, a walk-off. Kyle Farmer, who has never had an at-bat in the major league. Steps up last night, runners on first and second, wallops a double, a game-winning walk-off double to right field, scores two runs, Dodgers beat the Giants, they earn the sweep. They've won now 8 in a row, 8 out of 10.
Some magic about this team this year.
I agree, but I'll tell you another team that got better today, the New York Yankees. And we'll talk about both the Darvish move and the Yankees move a little bit later on in the show, because the Yankees went out and they grabbed Sonny Gray from Oakland. Now, while Darvish seemed to be the prize at the deadline, Gray was a close second because he's 27 years old and he's locked up for the next 2 years.
Yeah, the Yankees get that control, which is huge, where the Dodgers don't get that control. But the Yankees are doing what the Yankees do. They're going all in, and I don't blame them. They got that half-game lead on the Red Sox. Now, I think the Yankees are going to win that division now.
I think the Yankees win the division as well. I think this move today kind of solidifies that as well. So two teams got a lot better. Winners and losers at the trade deadline. And we can go back because the Cubs landed Quintana a couple of weeks ago, which to me, that was a huge move for this team. I mean, they added to their rotation as well. You get just a stud from the White Sox. Outside of the Dodgers and the Yankees, they're obvious winners. I throw the Cubs in there. I'll tell you who a loser is today. The Astros did nothing. They did nothing.
Stood pat. Yeah, I am shocked that the Astros didn't make any moves.
Are they good enough as they currently sit to win the AL?
I think they are, but
I think they are. I think the Yankees made a case for themselves. Again, I think the Yankees win the division. But the Astros, you know, and I thought maybe the Dodgers would be in the same situation. When you have 74 wins, and we're not even to August, you're in a position to where you've positioned yourself to be a front runner without making any moves. And again, the Dodgers didn't give anything up. Perhaps the Astros at 68 wins not far behind the Dodgers. They played brilliantly on the road this year at 38-15. Perhaps they felt they were in a position to where they could stand pat, not do anything, and that's exactly what they did. We'll see if that pays off. No one in the AL outside of the Yankees really made a big push today. There were no blockbuster deals. And so, I'm going to call them a loser roughly because they didn't get any better. But I don't know how much better they actually need to get. So
I still think Cleveland's the best team in the AL. That's who I have coming out of the AL.
That's a fair argument. Fair argument. Watch out for the Royals, though.
Royals are playing very good baseball as of late. They add Melky Cabrera.
They did. We'll talk more about the Major League Baseball trade deadline, how the Yu Darvish and the Sonny Gray deal will affect what is to come here in the next couple of weeks. Now, speaking of baseball, I have to talk about the Chicago Cubs and something that they did that I thought was just class all the way around. They gave Steve Bartman a World Series ring.
Good for the Cubs.
This is awesome. They want to put the Bartman play to rest, right? If you're a Cubs fan, you're probably going to dwell on that for the rest of your life. Just stop. Bartman gets a World Series ring. We don't have to go over the whole Bartman deal once again. You know the story behind it. But they beat the Indians. They win their first World Series title in 108 years. I'm looking at the ring right now. It actually says Bartman on the side of it. I think that's a very, very classy move on behalf of this organization. Bartman basically is in the witness protection program since that day. He issued a lengthy statement thanking the Cubs. He said, quote, "Although I do not consider myself worthy of such an honor, I'm deeply moved and sincerely grateful to receive an official Chicago Cubs World Series championship ring. I'm fully aware of the historical significance and appreciate the symbolism that the ring represents on multiple levels." That's just part of his quote. That's fantastic. And again, I tip my hat to the Chicago Cubs because for years, disgruntled, angry, unapologetic, irrational Cub fans blame this guy for a loss in that series.
Blaming him for a reaction that we all would do.
Everyone would have done that.
Yes.
If you look at me and say, I wouldn't have done what Bartman did, you're lying. Everybody would have done what Bartman did in that situation. So again, I tip my hat to the Chicago Cubs for hooking him up with a World Series ring. We move over to the NFL. This was a little bit shocking. The Jaguars, their left tackle Brandon Albert, retired today without playing a snap for the team. They acquired him in March with a trade with Miami. Now, the Jaguars sent their 7th-round pick to the Dolphins for Albert. As a result, the Dolphins have to return that draft pick to the Jaguars. Albert's decision caught several people by surprise. He skipped their offseason conditioning program and organized team activities because he wanted a new contract, but they weren't going to rework his deal, and he didn't get what he wanted. He's only 32 years old. He did participate in the mandatory 3-day minicamp in mid-June. He has 2 years remaining on his contract, 5 years. Well, it was 2 years on a 5-year contract that he had signed with Miami. Base salary at $8.8 million. Now he's done. He's walking away. He didn't get what he wanted, so he's walking away. Now, the Jaguars, I thought they did well in the draft because they grabbed Cam Robinson with the 34th pick. He is Albert's replacement right now. He said that Robinson was going to compete with Albert. Doug Marrone, their head coach, said that he was going to compete with Albert right off of the bat. Well, now Cam Robinson, the rookie, he is their left tackle.
Yeah, step up, man.
Yeah, you don't have much of a choice, right?
No, there's your starter. So, yeah, it's just shocking. 32 years old, just didn't get his way, so he's like, all right, see ya.
Takes his ball and goes home. It's his right to do that.
I'm sure we'll see him again.
You think?
I think so.
Retiring, just like that. I mean, snap of a finger is gone. Let's take a look at the schedule. We'll jump back over to Major League Baseball because, again, plenty of ball as we continue to get down to the nitty-gritty. It is somewhat of a shorter slate today. One final earlier, Philly topped Atlanta by a final score of 7-6. Still to come tonight, 5 o'clock hour, Cleveland at Boston, Detroit at the Yankees. Kansas City will battle Baltimore again. The Royals playing really good baseball. They've won 9 out of 10. Washington will be at Miami. 6 o'clock hour tonight, we get Seattle at Texas. Toronto will take on the White Sox. We get Tampa Bay at the Astros. And then San Francisco will battle the Oakland A's. Matt Cain on the mound tonight for the Giants. Start time of that one is set for 8:05. We're going to talk some high school football on the show today. The first official practice for the Carbon Dinos as they gear up for the 2017 season. The opening day is going to be August 18th. The blue and white game is next week. That's how quick the football season is approaching. Coach Josh Huntsman is going to join us live in the studio here in just a moment. We'll give you a NASCAR update from yesterday. It was an exciting race. And a 39, 36 drought race streak ended in this particular race. So we'll give you the recap on that as well. Plus a look at the local sports front. All that is coming up here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead with Castle Valley Orthodontics. I recently took over Dr. Broadwater's orthodontic practice here in Price. I'm excited to work with the patients and community here in Carbon and Emery County. We provide orthodontic treatment for children, teenagers, and adults, and also offer Invisalign, the clear alternative to braces. My passion is creating beautiful smiles one person at a time. Call us today for your free smile assessment at 637-2222.
If you can't swing like a pro, you can at least look like a pro with the help of TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club. TK's has it all from clubs and balls to lots of hats and shoes and a great selection of shirts with many colors and sizes to choose from. With the help of the experts at TK's Pro Shop, not only will you look like a pro, you'll be playing like a pro too. The golf course awaits. Get in and gear up today at TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. There were several events in the local Castle Country area over the weekend with the International Day celebration, including the 5K run, which took place bright and early at 8 a.m. on Saturday. The winner of the 5K was Jacob Jukes, who was 16 years of age. He finished the 5K in 21 minutes and 30 seconds. 52-year-old Donald Martinez finished in second, followed by Tyson Vigor in third. Stasia Gomez finished in 26 minutes and 45 seconds, finishing as the top female, followed by Russell Seeley. Now, the 5K was one of many events, including a horseshoe tournament, a basketball tournament, and, of course, the International Days golf tournament, which we will talk about in the coming days. The American Legion baseball season came to a close for Helper on Thursday as they dropped a 9-7 contest to North Cache and followed that up with another loss, this time falling to Layton by a final score of 8-4. In the first contest, playing for a chance to advance to the semifinals, Helper lost a 2-run game despite 5 errors in the first 3 innings. Still, Helper found themselves on top 4-2 going into the bottom of the 3rd inning, but North Cache continued to play consistent baseball, and they ended up grabbing the 2-run win as they scored in every inning except the 6th. Adrian Sanchez was charged with the loss on the hill for Helper. He pitched 5 innings. Jaden Flemmett pitched the final 2 in a relief effort. Despite the loss, Helper out-hit North Cache 12-10, and they scored runs in only 3 innings, scattering hits throughout the contest. Dipping to the one-loss bracket and playing for their season, Helper suffered a season-ending 8-4 loss to Layton, falling in 7 innings. Cody Lowe was hit with the loss on the hill. He gave up 4 runs in the 2nd inning. The loss brings an end to the season, and Helper finished 3rd place in the Southern Division Tournament, 2nd place overall throughout the season, as they had a 12-4 record. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will recap the American Legion baseball season in the coming days. Coach Jeff Cincinnaris and Price coach Willie Ellington will both join us. Again, that'll be on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. Utah Jazz rookie Tony Bradley will be making an appearance here in Carbon County. This will be next Tuesday, August 1st, at 1:30 p.m. at the BDAC on the campus of USU Eastern. Bradley, who was originally acquired in a draft day trade with the Lakers, was part of the North Carolina Tar Heels National Championship team in 2017. He posted averages of 7.1 points and 5.1 boards per game. He was a key contributor off the bench in his one collegiate season. The event will run in conjunction with the Junior Jazz program through Carbon County Rec. It will be free for all to attend, and Bradley will also give instruction on fundamentals related to the game of basketball. For more information on this event, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com. You can also find news, community events, and other items at CastleCountryRadio.com, including archive shows from KOAL's Drive Time Sports, which includes interviews from local and national guests.
The high school fall sports season is upon us, and this year there will be a lot of familiar faces returning for both Carbon, Emory, and Pinnacle. However, there is a new head coach at Carbon High School, Julia Chattel, who has been an assistant volleyball coach for the last 2 years and has now taken over the program following the departure of former head coach Kristen Johnson. KOAL's Drive Time Sports. We were joined by Chatel, and the new coach talked about a number of topics regarding the upcoming season and also what intrigued her about becoming the next head coach.
I love volleyball. I love anything to do with volleyball, and I love these girls and being around them for 2 years. There's no way that I was going to let this job slip between my fingers. I wanted to be able to be a part of this program and to continue to help these girls grow and to, again, reach their potential on and off the court.
Coach Chatel continued by talking about the off-season workouts for her team.
We've been having open gyms every week, and we went down to Dixie a few weeks ago and had a big tournament there for all of our teams, and we did pretty good. This past week, we had a camp with Chad Teichert. He came down from Wyoming. He's a very known coach for his most winning seasons, I guess is what he holds. And he came down and held a camp for us, which was great.
Now, Chatel did have a decorated career as a volleyball player. Not only did she graduate from Carbon High School in 2009, but she also played collegiately. After spending 2 years on the bench as an assistant coach, Chatel talked about the difference in being a player and a coach.
When you're playing, all you think about is, you know, playing. When you're coaching, you have to see everything. You have to be aware of every different player, and if they know, you know, their rotations or if they know what they should be doing, as well as focus on all the different girls on the team. Something that I've learned particularly is more of the X's and O's, I would say, from coaching, and to be more aware of what these girls need as an authority figure versus a teammate.
You can listen to this complete interview by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com and clicking on the Drive Time Sports link. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Remember growing up and spending those summer days at the park? Summer picnics were always accompanied with some juicy chicken from KFC. At KFC, the Colonel's secret recipe is still going strong, and their $20 fill-up meal has got your picnic covered. That's right, just $20 will feed your family well with 8 pieces of chicken, a large coleslaw, 2 large bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits. Grab your kids a blanket and a $20 fill-up meal and let the summer picnic tradition continue with the help of KFC.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student-athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man-hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student-athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
Watch the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We are just under 2 weeks away from the blue and white and black and gold game for both Carbon and Emory football. It's coming up. The season is approaching so fast. We're going to begin to preview the season today, right now, here on Drive Time Sports, and bring in our first guest of the week. He is the third-year head coach for the Carbon Dino football program, Josh Huntsman. In fact, the football team had their first official practice earlier today. Coach, as always, a pleasure to talk football with you.
Hey,
thank you.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on.
Always look forward to it, Coach. Now that we are through basically the month of July, moving into August, we're about 17 days away from the start of the high school football season. I can't believe how fast time is flying. But how does the team look right now in your eyes?
First day of practice today, not too bad. You know, we got a lot of our stuff put in over the summer, and so now kids understand formations, they understand where they need to line up. Now we just need to polish and get ready for game one.
Let's go back and talk about the month of July. It was busy for you guys, plus you had your Camp Carbon as well. July is always a really tricky month. I know there's a lot of sports going on, basketball, baseball. We'll talk more Legion ball, I know, later on in the week as we wrap up that season. What was the commitment like from the kids in the month of July?
You know, we don't want them to have to choose. And so we tell them if they've got stuff going on, that's fine. If they're going to go play baseball, they got to go play baseball. If they've got a basketball camp that they need to attend, then they need to attend that camp. You know, we were, you know, summer's tough. Summer's tricky. You can't say it's mandatory. You have to be here all the time. You know, you want them there all the time, and you want to say it's mandatory, but you just can't because there's so much going on in these kids' lives that they have to be able to go out and do things.
I know there's a lot of things that you definitely want to implement this year. You and I have talked a couple of times over the offseason, getting the X's and O's down. I mean, did you guys have proper time in July to get to where a point to where you feel comfortable?
Yeah, we did. You know, we got a chance to look at our stuff against a couple of different teams. We had Summit Academy in for their camp, and then also North St. Pete was in for their camp. So we were able to do a little bit of scrimmage time with them. We were able to see some of the stuff that was going to work for us, some of the stuff that wasn't going to work for us, some of the stuff that we just needed to throw away, other stuff that we need to do a little more of. So it was actually pretty good.
As far as the first day of practice goes, I mean, how long, I know you got the heat acclimation and everything that you guys have to go through, but how long does it take before you're able to just dive right in and get into the normal rotation that you're going to use throughout the year?
You know, we're actually going to be into that normal rotation by Saturday. We've got to, because we've got the blue and white game coming up next week, next Friday night. And then, you know, the next week we're in Manti. It's on us. And so we're going to try to get into as much normalcy as possible. So starting next week, we'll be back into our 3:15 to 6 o'clock practices. And, you know, just we'll game plan for the week and do what we do.
Tell me if I'm wrong. It just doesn't seem like enough time to get these kids ready for a football season.
Oh, it's never enough time. But, you know, if you've taught them correct things and if they can go out and execute, then, you know, it's so be it. It's great. But, you know, if they can't, you go back to the drawing board, you fix some things, and you get back after them the next week.
We're going to use Noah Jones as an example here, okay? This is your junior quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kid that you've been able to work with now for 3 years. This will be your third year.
Yep.
What type of development have you seen from Noah to your liking over the past 2 years that makes you feel very comfortable about where he's at right now as a junior?
He's grown into a leader, and, you know, on the field, and he's developing as a leader off the field as well. The biggest thing that we've seen with him is comfort. You know, he's more comfortable with what we're doing because he's been able to see it for the last year. And with him being comfortable in the offense and comfortable in our defense and being able to pick up on what defenses are trying to do against us, he's actually done a much better job. The ball's coming out a lot quicker. He's made a lot of completions over the summer. Just time on the field's been good for him.
I know that the evolution and I guess the way these kids continue to progress, that's obviously a key factor into you guys building a successful football program. So in year three for you, you have a junior, a kid that you've worked with since his freshman season. Are you happy with the production and the progress that you've seen from other kids that are now juniors?
I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied. You know, you're happy to see the kid develop, but we're nowhere near where we need to be as a team as a whole. And so you like the strides that they take, but if you're not always striving for perfection, then you're not, you know, doing what you need to be doing as a coach and as a player and as those things. And so we demand a lot out of them, and we want them to get better each and every single day. And so, you know, for us, it's you got to take that next step, and you've got to win that practice, and you've got to win that next down, you've got to win that day, you've got to win all of those things. And so you got to stay within the moment, but you've got to keep striving for perfection.
For me personally, and I'm not discounting any year up to this point or even this season, but I was most intrigued, Coach, when you took this job to see what a kid looks like 4 years after you've gotten to work with him. Not a different coaching staff. I mean, a kid that you've been able to teach your brand of football to a kid for X amount of years, 4 years, 3 years. That's what I was most intrigued about when you first took this job. And now we're getting to that point. It's an exciting time.
We are. And, you know, definitely one of the kids that you should take a look at is Johnny Scoggins, playing outside linebacker for us. He's a kid that's been in our system the whole time and understands what we're asking him to do and understands what we're looking for. He's a kid that can do some really, really great things because, you know, he hasn't been coached by anyone else at the high school. And so it's been a real treat watching him develop and watching him grow as a player.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. With that being said, numbers are always a big deal when we talk football. You and I were talking a little bit off of the cuff, and as far as the number this year, you expect anywhere between 40 to 50 kids on the team?
We do. Right now, we have 36 that are out to practice. We've got a few more that are still signed up on Register My Athlete, so that we haven't seen yet, and we're hoping that we can push it into that 45 player range. If we can push it into that 45 player range, we'll have a decent decent JV team and we'll have a decent varsity team. We're going to scrap that freshman, you know, just freshman straight football this year, and we're going to have our freshmen roll with our sophomores and have our sophomores and freshmen play a JV schedule.
Does that work out better?
I think it does. You know, if you have whole freshman teams where it's just straight freshmen playing freshmen, yeah, that works out great. But for some of the smaller schools, it doesn't work out that way. So we end up having a lot of sophomores and freshmen playing with each other. And so this in a way helps us develop them a little bit quicker because they're going against our number ones every day in practice, and they're going hard. And so it's like we talked today, we told them, we want our freshmen to be just as good as our seniors right now. And so you've got to step up your game, and seniors, you got to ever strive for more. And so we're hoping that they can pull each other up just the same, you know, pull a freshman up just the same as a senior getting pulled up by a freshman. So if these guys will work with each other and do the things that we ask them to do, we think we're going to be pretty solid senior through freshman.
Now, unfortunately, in the classification that Carbon is placed in, you guys will go up against several schools that will have freshman, sophomore, junior, and varsity squads. I mean, in fact, we'll go up against a couple of schools that may have as many varsity players as we do players in general. So that does make it a little bit more difficult.
It does make it a little bit more difficult. And, you know, there's actually some schools that are in the same boat as us. I was speaking with Judge Memorial's head coach, and he has six kids out for his freshman team. And so he's kind of in the same boat that we're in right now. And that's a prominent Catholic school right in the heart of Salt Lake City. And, you know, if he's struggling to get kids out, I think it's pretty synonymous throughout the state that you know, football's kind of under attack right now. And that's what makes it difficult. The game's a little bit quicker, and kids hit a little bit harder, but the equipment is so much better than what it was back when even you and I were in high school.
Yeah.
And so these kids, there's a little bit of fear there, but if they're taught correct principles and taught how to play the game right, how to tackle right, how to keep your head across, you know, those type of things, they're not going to get hurt. And that's kind of the stigma that we have to get rid of within our sport so that we can get more kids out to play.
If we look ahead to the blue and white game between now and then, what are some of the things that you guys have to get done? Some of the things that you look at and you say, okay, for us to actually perform in front of the community, in front of a live audience crowd, we have to get some of these basics in place before next Friday.
We got to get our freshmen up to speed. You know, our freshmen and sophomores, we got to get them up to speed with what we're doing so that, you know, it's not a varsity group walking all over some younger kids. We want this game to be competitive. You know, we're still going to work our stuff, and you know, there's going to be situations where I'm going to call a play that may not make sense for a third and seven, but it's what we have on the script. And so that's what we're going to look for. We're going to look for, can we execute when we need to execute? Can we do what we need to do to progress our varsity group to getting better and preparing for Manti at the same time?
It's tough. I mean, I know it's unreasonable to think a freshman's going to be up to speed with someone in the varsity, you know, this early. But again, high school sports, you don't necessarily get reasonable times, right?
No, and you get what mama gives you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you have a player that's 270 pounds and plays like an NFL player. Other times you got a kid who's 95 pounds but has a lot of heart, and you take what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And you develop from point A to point B. You develop from the top to the bottom. You're only as strong as that last player that steps on the field. And I think, you know, I'll put our kids 1-99 up against anyone in the state. It doesn't matter. We've taught them correct principles. We taught them how to play the game. And so if we can get them in the right positions, they're going to be competitive against whoever they play.
Now, you and I did talk X's and O's the last time we were here, and we did talk a little bit about the veer option, something that you guys are definitely going to implement this year. At times, that can be complex. I mean, it can be difficult for kids to learn. How have they grasped the veer option?
It can. You know, our offensive line has struggled with a little bit. We struggled that first game out against Summit Academy over the summer. And so we made some changes, and we kind of went back to the drawing board a little bit, kind of simplified some of our blocking schemes for our offensive line, you know, made it a little bit easier for their combo blocks and things like that. You know, we're not a college team. We're never going to be a college team. And so we're going to try to keep it as simple as we can. You know, I believe that simplicity is what you can intelligently intelligently teach. And so if I can intelligently teach something to our kids, then I think if I can grasp it, they can grasp it. And so we should be, you know, we all should be on the same page there. And I think that from today, from what I've seen, our kids are starting to pick it up.
Defensively, how have you guys looked?
Defensively, we've done a pretty good job. You know, we've got new terminology coming in with our new defensive coordinator in Taylor Brower. And so the terminology has completely changed, but what we're doing has not. You know, we're still in that 3-5 look. You know, if you're going to run the ball, we're going to rush 8. If you're going to pass the ball, we're going to drop 8. And so that really hasn't changed a lot. Just what we call it has changed. And so that's just the big thing for our kids to get over that hurdle is understanding what he's calling on the sideline so that, you know, they can get into the same places that they've been in the last 2 years.
Well, it's fun that it's this time of the year, Coach, because it is go time. I mean, we're here. The season is upon us. Opening up with Manti for the third consecutive year, right?
Third consecutive year. And I love playing that group of kids. Mm-hmm. They're 100 miles away from us. It's a great game for us. It's a great game for them. It's kind of a measuring stick as to what we can do against that other region or that other division within the 3A. They're always going to have talented kids. They're a good ball club. They're coached well, and you know they do what they need to do to win football games.
And outside of that, we got the new playoff format this year as well, going into Week 10.
We do, yeah. We get it's a play-in game, so you get to play the number 2 seed from the number 2 or number 3 seed, the 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6 seeds. They'll all play each other, and then the 1 seeds will get a break that weekend.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait for it. Yeah, this is going to be a really fun year. Coach, I'm so glad football season is back. I know you're busy with practice just getting underway, so thank you again for taking the time to come down to the studio today and have a word.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and just remember, go Dinos.
Go Dinos, definitely. We have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We're back after this.
Believe it or not, the start of school is just around the corner. Are you ready to pay for new school clothes, school supplies, and of course, those registration fees? Desert View Federal Credit Union has just the loan for you. From now to the end of August, you can get a $1,000 signature loan with a 7.99% rate for 12 months. Desert View Federal Credit Union is ready to help relieve that back-to-school stress. Call 687-2472 to talk to a loan officer today.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NC. CUA.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss, it just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. So delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff of the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
4, 3, 2, 1. Gentlemen, start your engines.
It's now time for a NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing update. And this past Sunday on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, Kyle Busch took home the checkered flag in the Overton 400 at Pocono Raceway. Benefiting from a pit call by crew chief Adam Stevens, Busch charged through the field on his final pit stop. He pulled away to beat the runner-up, Kevin Harvick, by over 6 seconds to break a career-long 36-race loss drought. Harvick came to the pit for the final time on lap 124, while Martin Truex Jr., who finished in third place, pitted 2 laps later. Busch went to pit row 10 laps later, and he left with fresh tires and managed to pick off drivers one by one. Busch caught Harvick on lap 144 of 160. Following the win, Busch talked about how great it feels to end the drought.
It's pretty cool. Finally just being able to get the monkey off our back and get to victory lane this year. It's been a long time coming. It's well documented. It's been over a year, but it's finally finally very rewarding to achieve victory, especially here at Pocono. It's M&M's backyard with one of their main plants over there in Hackettstown. So we appreciate being able to go see all those guys and gals on Thursday and having them invite us over and giving the team guys and their spouses some tours and whatnot. So it was fun to do that. And, of course, to be able to just get to Victory Lane with this team, with Adam and all the guys. It's not due to lack of effort. It's not due to lack of speed. You know, we've certainly figured out a lot of different ways to lose those races this year, but feels really good to finally capitalize on having a fast car and Adam making a really good decision there to kind of long stint that last run and put tires on late. It really paid off for us.
Second place finisher Kevin Harvick talked about his day on the track.
Yeah, there was no battle. He was way faster than we were. In the lap, he happened to catch me. You know, in my head, I was thinking, all right, we just need to stay on the bottom. And I got sideways going into three and tried to park it. And he was going to the throttle about the same time and got in the back of me a little bit. But that was just me trying to keep it on the bottom. But there was no battle. I mean, he was in a league of his own there at the end. Just got through traffic good, got to us, got around us.
Despite coming in third place, it was yet another solid performance for Martin Truex Jr., who has dominated so far this season.
Yeah, overall, I mean, it was definitely a solid weekend to, you know, have a good practice, two good practice sessions, and qualify second and finish third. It was just a solid weekend. We kind of battled a little bit back and forth with the handling today of the car. We never could quite get it right, but everybody did a really good job of staying in it. And, yeah, we still had a shot there leading until the last pit stop. And, you know, we obviously lost the lead there when it cycled back around. And then just kind of, you know, got hung up in lap traffic a couple times. You know, got hung up once with a guy pitting and lost second to the four car. But, all in all, I think that Kyle, 18, probably the best car, especially at the end. He looked like he was just really fast and obviously a little different strategy with fresher tires. So
Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski rounded out the top five, while Clint Bowyer, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Matt Kenseth, and Chase Elliott completed the top 10. Right now, the current NASCAR Monster Energy Cup race standings have Truex Jr. in front, followed by Kyle Larson in second, Kevin Harvick in third, Kyle Busch in fourth, and Brad Keselowski in fifth. NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing action will continue this Sunday on KOAL with the I Love New York 355 at the Glen. Start time for this race is scheduled for 1 p.m.
Emery Telecom's new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emery Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emery Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
In the August 15th special election for Congress, look at the candidates' records on taxes. Politician John Curtis, the mayor of Provo, supported higher taxes 8 times and higher fees 38 times. Mayor Curtis proposed property tax increases and even supported a 12% increase in the gas tax. State Rep. Chris Herod had a similar record supporting tax increases. Herod voted to increase property taxes on almost all Utah families, and Herod voted to use tax dollars to pay for a sports stadium. A better choice? Conservative businessman Tanner Ainge has never supported a tax increase and has pledged he never will. Tanner Ainge will work to reduce taxes on hardworking Utah families. Tanner Ainge, the only non-politician, anti-tax candidate. Let's send Tanner Ainge to Congress to fight for our conservative values. Conservative Utah paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.conservativeut.com.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Hey, by the way, did you watch any combat sports over the weekend?
I watched the John Jones fight.
That was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that little...
Look, Daniel Cormier, I had him up 2-0 going into round 3.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
He won the first 2 rounds of that bout. Did you happen to watch Adrian Broner and Mikey Garcia?
No, but I checked in on it, read some things about it, and what the heck happened to Adrian Broner?
I thought Broner's performance on Saturday was good. I thought Garcia was fantastic. And that is a name in boxing that I think is going to be around for a while. This is a guy that moved up to 140, has never lost, lightweight undefeated champion at 36-0. I think you're going to see this guy around the boxing game for quite some time. Had to take 2 years off because of a contract dispute. I'm with you, though. Adrian Broner's an above-average fighter. He's a C-plus, B-minus fighter. That's what he is. Let's go back and talk Major League Baseball. Travis, we got about 13 minutes left in the show today, so I want to get to the Yu Darvish and the Sonny Gray deals. First off, we'll talk about Darvish. On his way to L.A., he's definitely going to be a key component to an already stacked rotation. Your thoughts on the Darvish deal and the fact that the Dodgers did not have to give up any key prospects. Alex Verdugo, who's a 21-year-old outfielder, ranked the best at his position, the top prospect in L.A. system, stays put. They also have a pitcher by the last name of Calhoun who is very good. Bueller. And Calhoun actually went in the deal. And they were able to keep Bueller as well. So their top two prospects stay intact and you grab Yu Darvish. The question is Darvish worthy of this? Are we putting him on a pedestal or is he worth all the praise we're giving him today?
No, I think he's worth the praise. And for a team that hasn't won a championship since 1988, you have to make these kind of moves to put yourself over the top. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't have to gut their farm system to get this guy. Gave up a couple. You never know how prospects are going to turn out anyways.
You don't.
So no. I'm always on the fence of trade your prospects. Just trade them. If you know that there's a guy proven out there, go out and get that guy.
Well, I think to an extent, I mean, the big worry about Darvish and giving up so many, and I believe he goes back to Texas at the end, or to Houston, excuse me, at the end of this season. Well, Texas. I'm all over the place today. I do believe he goes back to Texas at the end of the season. I think that's a lot of the reason why the Rangers parted with him without grabbing key prospects. And I think they already have this in works. Look, it happened last year with the Cubs and the Yankees with Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
It happened. And I think that already the Rangers know that this is a rental deal. And that's why they didn't get much in return for him. Now, when I say they didn't get much in return, again, looking at the Dodgers farm system, Willie Calhoun, who's kind of a hybrid player, he plays in the infield at second base, but he's also been used at various locations in the outfield as well. Very good ball player. And this kid's going to be playing in the majors before too much longer. I don't know much about AJ Alexi. I don't know a whole lot about Brendan Davis as well. I keep tabs at about the top 5 prospects per team in the National League. The American League, even sometimes I'm a little spotty, I'll be honest, as far as the prospects go. But the Dodgers did well in the fact that they did not give up anyone of any significance. And the one name that I worried about at the trade deadline was Yasiel Puig. I thought that the Dodgers would be tempted to move Puig. Last night he came through in the clutch not once but twice for this team. Best 8-hole hitter in the league. A name that's been floated out there with trade rumors for the last little while. They didn't have to give up Puig.
No, you don't want to get rid of a guy that has a cannon of an arm. He's a good outfielder, and he has that pop with the bat. So, yeah, I'm glad that the Dodgers kept Yasiel Puig. I'm just not understanding why most Dodger fans don't like this guy.
I don't get it.
And they want him traded, but it doesn't make sense.
No, I don't get it.
You want Andre Ethier out there? No.
No, I'm with you. I'm a big Puig guy. I'm a big, big Puig guy. Now, as far as the Rangers go, they're not out of it yet. They're only 5 back in the wild card. But, again, you're 4 games under 500 at this particular time. And so, I guess reality sets in. After a while, reality sets in, and this is a team that's just not good enough. But you look at Yu Darvish and his 4.01 ERA. Does that worry you at all? Because he hasn't necessarily pitched well over the last few outings. In fact, his last outing in Texas, what did he give up? Like 10 runs?
Yeah, he gave up pitched like an inning and a half or gave up 10 runs.
It was something like that,
wasn't
it? 7
walks, yeah. He was on my one of my fantasy teams, so yeah.
He didn't play very well in his last outing. So that's the question. I mean, again, if you had to pick between Darvish, Gray, and Verlander, who were all available today, and Verlander stayed put, Gray goes over to the Yankees, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Did the Dodgers get the guy that you would have taken out of those three?
Yes, that's the guy I want. The Sonny Gray thing going to New York, that short porch scares me a little bit, but I think he'll be all right. But I'd rather have you, Darvish, out of those three.
All right, well, let's talk about Gray, because the American League is wide open. I do believe the Astros are the best team. You're going to go with the Indians. The Royals are playing much better. But the Yankees are close, and they have been close all year. Remember how they started off the season on fire at home? Yankee Stadium was really kind to them in the early part of the season. In fact, right now they're still 13 games over 500 at home. The Yankees did something completely different than what we have seen them do over the last two decades. Brian Cashman didn't strip it down to the core, but he made moves last season, stacked up for this year, and now the Yankees were in a position where they could do what we have been accustomed to seeing the Yankees do over the last two decades, go out and grab one of the bigger names at the trade deadline, and they grab a 27-year-old starter. Because of this, they have to be a legitimate contender now in the AL. They have to be considered that.
Yeah, they got an elite closer in Chapman. They have the offensive firepower that is starting to come around. And now you add another starter to that rotation. So, yeah, the Yankees are the favorite to win the East, I think, and they could make some noise in the playoffs as well.
They have six starters with five spots. And I put the Dodgers and the Yankees in a similar boat because the Dodgers have seven starters in five spots. The Yankees have six in five spots.
Never a bad problem.
Never a bad problem at all because it gives you protection, especially if one of them is to suffer an injury. So if you had to rank Brian Cashman, give him a grade. Grade him out. What kind of job has he done for the New York Yankees over the last 2 years?
I'd give him an A. I think he's done a fantastic job.
Andrew Friedman.
A+.
I'm with you on Cashman. I'm with you on Friedman. I think both of them have just done brilliant.
Stay patient to then give up their talented young prospects, and they just stayed patient, and now it's paying off. Look at all the young talent the Dodgers have.
For the Yankees, they're in a different spot, though, and I'll tell you why they're in a different spot, because you have a proven manager. Dave Roberts has been phenomenal for the Dodgers. He's been great.
He's so smart.
He is. I mean, he was the right guy for that job. Kind of a dark horse when they gave him the position, but he's been perfect for him. Joe Girardi, on the other hand, knows how to win World Series championships. And so now Brian Cashman has made the right moves for the Yankees. You're all in on Joe Girardi, and now you have to lean on him to get you to that 28th championship. That's just the way it works. You've set him up now.
Yeah, it's not a bad guy to lean on to get you to
that
point.
No, not at all. Not at all. Big winners and losers from the trade deadline today. Again, the Dodgers, big winners. I have to put the Cubs up there as a winner because, again, I think they got better. They made a couple of moves as well. You know, one team that I thought would definitely test the waters for pitching that didn't, the Rockies.
They added Jonathan Lucroy at catcher spot, but yeah. You got to go out and get a pitcher.
I thought that maybe Johnny Cueto. I thought, you know, Verlander would be. I didn't expect the Rockies to go out and get Verlander, but I thought that maybe it wouldn't be a bad move for them to take a risk because here's the spot that you're in if you're Colorado, and Arizona doesn't have this problem.
No.
Because they have Zach Greinke.
Yes, they do.
The Rockies, if they get into the playoffs, it's going to be a one-game wild card. Okay, and here's the problem with the Rockies, and I've said this all year long. For a team that did not make a move for pitching, it's almost mind-boggling. Now, they're 5 up on the Brewers for the final playoff spot, tied right now with the Diamondbacks in the win column.
Those are your two wild cards right there. Diamondbacks, Rockies. Brewers have no chance.
I don't count the Cardinals out yet. Cardinals are 8 back. I don't count them out yet.
I wish the Cardinals would have made a move.
They didn't do anything either. But, again, if I'm talking about pitching, you have to set yourself up right for a one-game playoff. Let's be realistic here. The Rockies aren't winning the NL West. They're not. So you're going to go into a one-game playoff. If you make a move for the likes of someone like Johnny Cueto, at least you have a pitcher with that experience at a one-game playoff. You have to prepare for a one-game wild card spot. Now, I'm not saying give up the farm. I'm just looking at the pitching for the Colorado Rockies. Let's look at it. They don't have anyone on the roster that I look at that strikes fear into me going into a one-game playoff. They don't. I mean, this has been my problem with the Rockies all year long, and we've talked to Bill Lasky about this on the show several times, and I remember he said that there's a chance that Johnny Cueto would be a guy that they would target. Kyle Freeland, does he strike fear in you going into a one-game playoff?
No.
He's got a 3.7 ERA, 11-7 of the season. Tyler Chatwood.
No.
To me, you have to set yourself up knowing that you're going to get into a one-game playoff because you're not going to catch the Dodgers.
Yeah, then you get past that one game, then who knows what happens.
I mean, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. There are sabermetrics people out there that would tell me I am wrong, but my beef with sabermetrics has always been the same thing. Talent will win you championships. I've yet to see Billy Beane's system produce a World Series championship. It hasn't.
Oh, no, they're rebuilding every year. That's all the A's do.
So to me, you know, a team like the Rockies, a team like the Brewers, you mentioned it as well. They didn't make a move.
They were five and a half games up on July 14th and stood pat.
Didn't do anything. these are teams that should have been preparing for a one-game playoff. And this is
why they're not winning.
I agree with you. We got a break one last time. We'll come back with the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOA 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
When talking about service, I'm sure you'll concur. It's actions that speak louder than words. So with my money, every red cent, I trust these folks 100%. Eastern Utah Community Credit Union.
Hi, I'm Renee from Eastern Utah Community Credit Union. Getting your kids ready to go back to school can be stressful, and it can really make a dent in your pocket. You have to pay for school supplies, school clothes, books, fees, and more. At Eastern Utah Community Credit Union, we understand that at this time of the year, sometimes you need just a little extra help. So we have a one-year, $1,000 loan with an interest rate of 7.99% APR, and it's available from now until the end of August. Our goal is to make your life easier and get your kids back to school with everything they need. It's quick and it's easy, so come in and see one of our loan professionals today.
Membership and eligibility required. NCUA insured. Loans approved on credit. Equal housing lender.
Eastern Utah Community Credit Union. Depend on us.
Knock, knock, you about to get shell shot. Knock, knock. This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskering on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
All right, we're back here on Drive Time Sports. Final minute of the show. We ran a little long in a couple of segments. I got an obscure stat for you. First off, Carrie Underwood's going to be back on Sunday Night Football. I've lost 5 years in a row now that Carrie Underwood has had the intro for Sunday Night Football. I'm not sure if anyone really cares about that or not. Here's a fun NFL fact for you. I want to end the show with this because this is going to get to you. Travis is a Tom Brady fanatic, loves Tom Brady. You know who Zach Martin is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're talking about one of the better offensive linemen in the NFL, played for Notre Dame, right now with the Cowboys, part of one of the best offensive lines that we've seen in the past decade. In just 3 seasons in the NFL, Zach Martin has as many first-team All-Pro selections as Tom Brady's entire career. In 3 seasons!
Crazy, huh?
Is that not a mind-blowing stat?
That's
utterly ridiculous.
I don't even know what to say about that.
All right. I figured we would end with that on today's show. Coming up next, it's the Michael Medved program. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.
You're listening to News Talk 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, Price, and translator K259 CM Price.
From ABC News.